practiced any more than she has.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to invite everyone to come in and have a seat and join us for worship this morning on this hot August Sunday morning. We're already in August, folks, and I don't know where the first 7 months went, but I'm sure I had fun. I'd like to welcome everyone to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church this fine morning. Do we have any visitors with us this morning? Yes. John and Ashley, nice to have you this morning. Welcome to Jenkins. I believe the registrations, the few pads have been passed out. Be sure and register your name. And if you're new, your address. Do we have announcements this morning? Do we have any announcements that need to be made? Yes, please. Other announcements this morning? If not, let us pause for a moment. Did you have an announcement, by the way? We haven't gotten to prayer time yet. I was getting ready for. Do we have any prayer requests? Anything on anybody's heart? Oh, sorry.
Resident of this community passed away. She used to write the Nolensville article in the Review Appeal. And many of these people know her. She passed away. I believe the funeral today at Hickory Chapel, Woodbound Funeral Home, Hickory Chapel at 3 o'clock. 2:30? Okay. 2:30.
Do we have others that we need to remember in prayer? Do we have any others? Yes. Yeah. I'd like you to remember of the family of Delaine Stone. Her daughter and I have been friends for many years, and she passed away with cancer Thursday morning. And I'm going to Tullahoma this afternoon for that service.
I guess it's a prayer concern. We need a junior high Sunday school teacher. We've got one pretty close to being committed, but if somebody wants to even assist there, that might be a possibility.
Okay, junior high teacher.
Okay.
There's no other prayer concerns or happy occasions. Please let us pause for a moment of silence and prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Call to worship. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders.
I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
Let's all stand down, turning our hymns to hymn 75. Praise the Savior.
Yeah. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please remain standing and allow us to express our faith before God through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the Amen.
in our call to confession. Our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities. Our prayer of confession together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your way to the glory of your name. Amen. And we have that assurance of forgiveness from Acts chapter 13, verse 39. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you.
Let's all turn to the hymns now. To hymn 435. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2.
Choir special today is taken from Psalm 91, and we'd like to read it for you before we sing. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you, choir. I believe it's time for children's time. Miss Andrea, boys and girls, come on down. And there is no children's church today, so you all remain in the sanctuary.
Thank you.
prefatory sentence today is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I ask the usher to come forth to accept our tithes and offerings today.
Testimony? Use this opportunity. Thank you. Tommy Clark, if you'll come in. Tommy Clark's the minister in training. He's doing his time and stand here at the communion table. Just kind of observe up close. Okay? Hear these words from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth.
concerning the communion service, there are words for us also. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and following, Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We have a meditation song concerning our relationship with God and our partaking of the element of Holy Communion from his table. Let's sing together. This is the Lord's table. It's not Deacon's Church table. It is not Cumberland Presbyterian table. It's the Lord's table. And he invites those who are trusting in him as their Lord and Savior to eat and drink from his table, remembering the cross that's prominently displayed in this church and at the front, the back. We just remember his sacrifice upon the cross. So if you're a first-time guest today, or this is the first time you've been here when we are observing this sacrament, you're invited to participate with us if you're a believer in Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
bread. The scriptures tell us that Jesus took the bread and he blessed it and broke it and invited his disciples to eat it, telling them that that was his body. That was bread that they were eating at the last Passover meal that Jesus ate with his disciples. It was bread that represented his body that from that night, the next day, it would be broken. Broken with a sword or a spear thrust through his side, with thorns on his brow, with nails through his hands and his feet. He asked them to, every time they ate of that bread, they remembered his death until he come. And also he reminded them that they were proclaiming or telling for his death for them and for us each time that they ate, and we are doing that each time that we eat. Lord God, bless this little morsel of bread. Let it be that reminder that we need that your body was broken on our behalf. We come this morning, O Lord, thanking you, and we come renewing our commitment to you and our faith in you. Thank you for dying on our behalf through Jesus Christ. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you. The cup. He said that this is his blood poured out for many. And Matthew records that he says for the remission of sin. He shed his blood that we might be forgiven our sin. He gave his life by giving his blood that we might have life eternal, that we might be cleansed of sin and might live forever in God's presence. Lord God, bless this cup. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for allowing your blood to be shed from your hand, your head, your side. All for us, because you love us. To redeem us from Satan. To secure us in our relationship with you for heaven. Amen. Friends, let us eat and drink, remembering his sacrifice for us, his love for us.
Please stand with me as we sing together.
Scripture selection is taken this morning from Romans chapter 7 verses 14 through 25 and 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 through 10. Please listen to God's word. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Soul as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature as a slave to the law of sin. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you: God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brother Larry?
Is that passage of Scripture just a little bit confusing? Maybe, what is he talking about? What is he saying? Let's think about it for a moment. And I realize the hour of the day. And I think this is so important. Maybe, if not to you, then to me, but hopefully to you. What is a Christian to do when he sins? And my purpose or my goal or my aim is to inform or remind for those who already know. To remind the Christian how to deal with sin, or to inform the person that has not yet become a believer in Jesus, believed unto salvation, and then inform them really what they can expect when they do trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. When you became a disciple of Jesus, you were not automatically at that point exempt from sinning. The Apostle John speaks rather emphatically concerning the Christian and sin, or we believe he is talking about the Christian and his sinning, or her sinning. Verse 8, if you will, is printed before you. 1 John Chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, or we're just dreaming. And the truth is not in us. That's pretty emphatic, isn't it? If the Christian claims that he is without sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We're not above sin. We're still in this human body, and somewhat controlled every once in a while by this sinful nature. It keeps sneaking back and creeping up on us. And then verse 10 says, if we claim we have not sinned, that would be past, we make Him, God, out to be a liar, and His word, God's word, has no place in our lives, or we haven't believed His word. The Apostle Paul describes the situation of his life. The very same situation that most and possibly all Christians find themselves in. I have put a little title to the
Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. And when I see people that are experiencing what Paul is talking about, I've said, and I don't know anybody else that said this, but I may have found it somewhere. But anyhow, I've said that they have the Romans 7 syndrome. That they're experiencing what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and following. 14 through 25. Now, he says, the good that I want to do, I'm not able to do. The bad that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. It's tough. It's not easy being a Christian. Now, we must be careful when we read this passage that we do not interpret this passage as a license to sin or an encouragement to sin. Well, I can't help myself. I'm going to do it anyway. And some people have done that. In Romans 6, Paul was writing about when sin increased, grace abounded. Or I think that's in Romans 5. Paul was writing about sin increasing, grace abounded. Or the more sin there is out there, the more opportunities God has to use His grace to redeem us or to forgive us. So some people were saying, and probably still saying it, oh, if we sin more, God just gets to exercise His grace more. So we're helping God by sinning more. And we look at that and we say, how silly. But you know, some people will use it. I want to help God out, so I'm going to sin more so He can show more grace to me or more forgiveness to me. But we can see through that, can't we? But some people don't, and we must be careful. We may fall into that trap of saying, oh, God hasn't been exercising His grace on my life anymore. I want to go sin so He can show me a lot of grace and a lot of forgiveness. Romans 6, 1 through 2, Romans 5, 20. But what do? When we sin? What are we to do when we sin? Well, the first thing I want to bring to your mind is not give up. Some people, they at least investigate the Christian life. And they start trying to live for Christ. And until they really give their life to Jesus, they don't have the help of the Holy Spirit. But they'll try to walk of their own strength in the teachings of Jesus, and they find that they can't do it. And they find they're going to try to be good in this deal, and they end up lying to somebody. They're going to try to be good in this deal, and they end up cheating. And they find that they should have gone and done a good favor for Aunt Susie whose porch fell in or something, and they did something else for their own pleasure. So they feel that they have omitted doing some good that they could have done, and so they just give up. So let me say first, don't give up. And then confess our sin. When we have sinned, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Didn't say that God will come and slap us across the face or beat us across the back if we sin or even stomp our toes. You've heard of toe-stomping sermons, haven't you? Didn't say that God will come and do all that to us. But some people enjoy coming and getting that weekly whipping or toe stomping, and they've really been preached to, and they can go away and say, well, we're clean now, we can do it again. That's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say go and hear a good toe stomping sermon or a backlashing sermon. Jesus took the lashes for us. The Scriptures say, if we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But some people would rather go get their beating, their tongue lashing, than to confess. But let me urge you, if you're one of those, and you wouldn't probably be in this church if you are, just know that God tells us to confess our sin. I want you to look around your life, if you will. What unconfessed sin is there? And you
probably named every sin that I could think of, or every unrighteous act that I could think of, I'd probably miss your sin, because I don't know about it. It may be a secret just between you and God. But look over your life. Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Wrong that you have not confessed, or right that you didn't do, that's sin of omission that you need to confess. Things you have done that were wrong are things that you omitted doing that were right or are right. Sins of attitude. Sins of wrong thinking, or thinking wrongly about someone. You know, sins of hate. We haven't done anything to hurt them, but we shoot darts at them when they walk by us. Or when we think about them, we just launch darts over there somewhere, like missiles that just go where we guide them to. So, the first thing we're told to do, or I'm suggesting that we do, and it's early in the book of John, is confess our sin. The second thing we do is return unto the Lord, or turn to the Lord. But if a Christian has come to the Lord and then got involved in sin some way, by accident hopefully, what is he to do? Return to the Lord. The prophet Isaiah said to the Israelites, let the wicked, or the sinful, forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him. The Lord will have mercy on him. And let him turn to our God, or return to our God, for he will freely pardon. There are some real good Bible examples, some people who sinned, they were in fellowship with God, and they sinned, but they failed to turn to God. Adam and Eve were two. Right early on, right after, you know, creation. And Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They sinned. They went against His will and His teachings, His instructions to them. And what did they do? Instead of when God came walking in the garden, looking for them, instead of then running up to Him and say, Lord, we have sinned. We know we've sinned, we're wrong, he already knew it, but he wanted them to confess it. What did they do? They ran to hide from him. Why did you hide? We were fearful. What were you afraid of? And then you find another one, that Judas. Now, we mention the name Judas and we say, oh no, what a terrible guy. Judas sinned. He betrayed his master. He betrayed Jesus. But he would not return to him. Rather than face Jesus, what did he do? He went out and hanged himself. He couldn't face the medicine. But he went out into an eternity of separation from God. And the call back in Isaiah, if he was, we think that Judas was a zealot for the word and for the cause of the kingdom of God, if it only remembered what the Word said, the Old Testament Word. But Peter, the Apostle Peter, sinned. He lied about his commitment. He said, I'll never turn away from you, Lord. I'll never turn away from you. I'll stand with you, you know, through thick and thin. That's a little paraphrasing. But when the going got rough, he denied even knowing Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. He sinned. But the good thing about Peter is when Jesus came to him, he was still with the group. He was admitting his sin. And the beautiful scene that is described for me at least in John chapter 21, that they had gone back fishing, the apostles had, the disciples, and Jesus came to the seashore and met them there on the seashore and had a fire going and some fish cooking, and they brought some fish and they cooked and they ate a breakfast of fish. And then after breakfast, Jesus started talking to Peter. And it doesn't say it. I thought it did, but it doesn't say it. But I can see Jesus walking away from the rest of the group with Peter and start talking to restore him. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you.
Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord. He even almost lost it there, didn't he? Being irritated with the Lord. He was frustrated that the Lord would ask him three times. But he had denied Jesus three times. You know I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Care for those other people out there who need a pastor. Somebody to love them and teach them. And Peter, he returned unto the Lord. And he was restored. That's what the verse says. Return to the Lord. And then Psalm 51, express some sorrow over your sin. This is David's psalm. And it's a response to when the prophet went to David and said, David, you have sinned because you stole one of your soldier's wife and you slept with her, you impregnated her, and now she's going to have your child. And that child was born and that child died. But in Psalm 51, we have David's confession of his sin. And he pleaded with God to restore him because he didn't have a witness for the Lord. A man after God's own heart. The man referred back to in kings that came after him that their life either was like David, the good ones, or their life was not like David, the bad ones. And he came and expressed real, sincere sorrow before the Lord. And go read it in Psalm 51. Realize that we have an advocate with the Father, or we have a lawyer to go before the judge to speak on our behalf. John writes, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And it goes on to say in verse 3, that's 1 John 2, verse 1 and verse 3, I believe it is. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. And then in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer says that Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them. He goes to God on our behalf, or He goes like a lawyer before God. And then seek God's face. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The temple had been built. King Solomon was the king, and they built the temple in Jerusalem. We call it King Solomon's temple. And King Solomon, in the 6th chapter of Chronicles, offers this beautiful prayer. He said, Lord, when things are not going right, and when there's drought, and when there is famine, and when your people have sinned, please hear them when they pray for you and pray to you. And the Lord responded in that key verse, I guess we would call it, in 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord said, okay, Solomon and the rest of you Israelites, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So when we have sinned, when we have gone wrong, when we have strayed from the way of God, seek the face of God. And then, lastly, confess. We don't talk about confessing. We can't talk too much about it, I don't think. Not to brag about, but to express, admit, and then forsake sin. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. What about you and your sin? Are you holding on to it? You've got an outline of six things, and I think it would be wise to take them all six of them.